for he was persuaded. You know, that's the difference between believing and easy believism. You have to be persuaded that what God has promised, he would perform. Not us, but he would perform. And then it goes on to say, and it was not written that it was imputed unto him for righteousness, meaning Abraham, for him alone, but for us also. Now that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? If it stopped right there, that would mean that everybody is in. But it doesn't stop right there. It goes on and puts a little caveat beside it. What does it say, brother?
If we believe.
If we have that same persuasion that Abraham had, if we are fully convinced of God and God's ability and God's word and God's promise, what do we call that in one word? Thank you. That's what we call faith. So when you say, I have faith, you say, Tom, you say this all the time. When a person says, I have faith, if they're not saying, I believe what God says about it all, they have no faith. James says faith without works is dead, being alone. That's what they've got, is a dead faith, because their faith will produce no works. So he says, it was not written for him, but for us who believe. And then it goes on to say this. It says, for he, meaning Jesus, was delivered for our. I'm trying to emphasize the pronouns in all this. You know, when it was talking about Abraham, it was a singular pronoun. But when Paul switched to us, it became plural, which means inclusive, which means more than one. But to everyone, for whosoever, then becomes us. And he says, for he was delivered for our offenses. Isaiah says that he was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. Now, I know that there's certain denominations, and I don't fault them for it. Hey, I don't fault anyone for anything. I know that there's some people that say that that's talking about if you have strong enough faith, any illness you have or any sickness you have, it's going to be healed. Because they say, by his stripes, we are healed. Well, no, that's not what that's talking about at all, because what the whole context of Isaiah is talking about is sin.
Sin sickness.
Now that you're going to be healed of. But brother, since we're talking about the gospel, I'll give you some good news. Bless God, it means diseases too. Don't you like that? It just don't mean here. Hey, you like that? You're going to die here, Gene. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's the bad news. Okay. But the good news is you're going to live.
Yeah.
And you're going to live sin free, sickness free, death free, sorrow free. Praise God, you're going to live free of all that. So he says he was delivered for our offenses and was resurrected, was raised for our justification. Now, what is it I say about justification? Now, see, I knew if I said that right. Boy, you know, a lawyer never asks a question unless he knows the answer. Did you know that, John? No, what I've said is don't ever say that. Because bless God, he just got through saying he was delivered for your offenses. That means you did sin. Bless God, don't ever say it's just as if I had never sinned. You did sin, and that's why he had to die. Justification means he takes care of that sin and makes you right with God. Hey, like, isn't that good? I tell you what, it's not hard for me to get fired up. I tell you, my little sister, she's struggling. If you just remember my little sister, she's struggling. But I'll call her, and she can barely talk to me, and her little voice is quivering, and you can tell she's in pain. You can tell she's beaten down with that old chemotherapy and that radiation. This dust has got the worst of her. But son, she told me that last week. She said, I just don't know if I want to take any more chemo. I said, don't you dare quit on God. Don't you dare quit on God. God ain't done yet. Don't you dare, honey. Don't you give up. Listen, I said, you just get the word out. Start reading them Psalms. I guarantee you it'll pick you up. I called her a few days later, and you know what? She says, well, they're going to decide next Thursday if they can give me some more chemo. Huh? Hey, listen, God will pick you up. He knows the valley you're in. I know when you're in that valley, you seem like nobody knows, nobody cares. God cares. Hallelujah. So he says that he was raised. That means he was resurrected. Remember when Mary saw him in the garden? What did she want to do? Huh? Yeah, she wanted to touch him. That's normal. She loved him. She wanted to touch him. He said, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. It wasn't as if her touching him would cause him to be sinful. No. He touched sin people all the time. He touched the dead, blessed God, and they raised. He touched the leper, and they were healed. So he wasn't worried about that. What he was saying is, listen, I've got to take this sinless sacrifice back to the Father for you. So he says he was raised for our justification. He was resurrected so you could be right with him, Linda. So when you're like Brother Will, and I prayed in his hospital room, Lord, he's standing at the edge of the river. Would you just come and take his hand? The world don't have that. Bless God, they'll have to go through it alone, but David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, praise God, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Who? The shepherd, bless God. You say, Tom, I thought you said go to John. Well, are you there? John chapter 5 is where I told you to go. Well, there's an interesting story here. Quite interesting. It says Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there was there at Jerusalem a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. Now, that's an interesting word. You say, well, I can't hardly pronounce it. I imagine it is. Did you know that it's made up of, it's written in Greek there, but if you notice what it says, which is in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. So it's made up of two Hebrew or Chaldean words. One is house, One is kindness. So you know what it means? The house of kindness. Now it seemed like that beside this house of kindness lay the impotent, the blind, and the halt. And it seems like that at a certain time, an angel of the Lord would come down and trouble the water. And whosoever, it says, was in the pool was made whole. No, I'll file that under W for whole. I'll come back to it. And so Jesus comes there. And here's this man. 38 years. 38. I just want you to, don't tell anybody your age now. I wouldn't ever do that. But I just want you to go back 38 years and see what age you'd be. And you'll get an idea of how long 38 years is. I was 31 years old. 33 years old. I'll keep writing me. Can't count. When you get old, you can't count. I guess that's good. Bless God, you quit counting. 38 years this man had been laying by this pool. What do you think he wanted for 38 years? Well, bless God, he wanted in that pool. Because he had already seen, listen, he'd witnessed for 38 years what the pool would do for people. They went in, they came out, they were whole. Jesus said, well, I'm paraphrasing now my words. I wouldn't do any harm to the scripture. I can tell you that. Jesus said, well, son, don't you want in the pool? Don't you want to be whole? Would you be made whole, he said. And the man says, what did you say, huh? I have no man. I have no man to get me there. And every time I try to get there, somebody gets in front of me.
I remember you teaching on that when I first started.
Honey, don't confuse me.
Well, you're still teaching on that.
You're my sister, but if you get me off track, we're done. I'll just have to sit down.
It's not off track because you did it.
You see what I have put up with, Miss Assistant? But I wouldn't trade her for 10 goings. So he says, would you be made whole? And he says, oh, I have no man. I wrote in my Bible, and I called my brother Dave, and I said, message alert. The pool has come to you. Hey, I like that, bless God. He said, brother, you don't need to get in the pool. I said, do you want to be made whole? You're thinking you got to get in this pool. I'm the pool. I thought about my brother Dan, my pastor, you know him. And I started to call him and ask for permission to sing one of his songs. He came to me. When I was bound in chains of sin, he came to me. When I couldn't come to him, he came to me. Listen, he says, brother, you don't have to worry about the pool. I'm the pool. Just answer my question. Do you want to be made whole?
Yeah.
And I made another note, and I give my brother another message title. Do you want to go away different than you are? Do you want to leave here different than you've been for 38 years? My mom went back. Y'all said, Tom, you're going back to that red light, aren't you? Oh, yeah. Listen, that red light was my pool, folks. I was sitting there at the red light. Every time I tried to get in the pool, somebody beat me too. And the Lord said, son, do you want to get right or not? I said, Lord, if you won't let that light change, I'll get right. That's the longest red light. But soon it turned green and through I went. Well, you know what happened to this man? Bless God, Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Go down here to physical therapy and let them work on you. And years, bless God, you'll be back to good.
No.
Listen, that man took up his bed and walked. You know what happened? He ran into a bunch of preachers.
Yeah.
That's what he ran into. He ran into a bunch of religious people, a bunch of preachers. And they said, aren't you the guy laid by the pool? Yes, sir. What are you doing carrying your bed? He said, well, not complicated. Man told me to get up, told me to carry that bed. When I got up, bless God, I did what he said.
Yeah.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Listen, when he saves you, bless God, he says, get up now and go. Get up and go. So Jesus finds him where anybody that's been saved ought to be. Where do you think that is? In church, bless God, that's where he found him. He said Jesus came to the temple because he'd done told him people. He said, listen, I don't know. Listen, I don't know. I don't know. The man just told me get up and I got up. But then he met Jesus at the temple. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, John, you reading that? That's what I thought. That's God, when you can stay with me and not read it, then you can say something. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. I like it when you do it. He said, son, you've been made whole. Go and sin no more. What did he tell the woman where he said, neither do I condemn thee? Go and sin no more. Listen, when you get saved, he says, listen, I've made you whole now. Go and sin no more. And if your desire is not to sin, then you didn't get made whole. I don't care what anybody says to you. You say, but Tom, do you sin? You're in this flesh, folks. You're going to sin. But I'll guarantee you don't have a desire to. I'll guarantee you when you do, it tears you all to pieces. So he says, listen. And so Jesus told him, said that. And then the preachers and religious people again. He said, oh, by the way, I just want to tell you who that was. It was Jesus.
Yeah.
It was Jesus told me to carry that on the Sabbath. And boy, I tell you, they had the biggest revival you've ever seen. Well, I know they sought to kill him. Jesus. They sought to kill Jesus because, first of all, he told the man to carry a burden on the Sabbath. That was against the law. But when they found Jesus, he said, boys, now look, you can read this. I'm not hurting anything. I'm just telling you the story. He said, boys, I was just doing the work of my Father. Oh, that changes everything, they said. No, it says they sought to kill him even more. Because he had counted himself equal with God.
Yeah.
How dare he? Well, wait a minute. Now, you know, Judge Judy has this amazing way of talking to people. Sometimes I agree with it, sometimes I don't. But she'll say this. She'll say, you look like a rather intelligent person. You're not a stupid person, are you? Well, that's sort of what these people were, stupid. Now think about it. Here's a man that has laid lame for 38 years. Now I've got a nurse back here, and I'll guarantee she'll tell you that over 38 years, atrophy had taken over that man. He didn't have a strong muscle in his body. Am I right or wrong, honey? That'd be exactly right. That's why when you have surgery, you got to get the therapy to get them muscles straightened back out and strengthen back up, right? So he says, now wait a minute, boys, think about this. Who but God can do that? Do you know anybody? I tell you what, and this is just the way I think. Jesus didn't do that to him. I say, boys, I tell you what. Let's go find another one. You get them up. You give them the law. You give them the Sabbath. You give them the ceremonies. You give them the rituals. And you see if it gets them up. And I say to you, you go to church. You sing. Like old Tom did. You can sing in a quartet with your mom and two brothers. Bless God, going around singing gospel songs. As lost as a ball in high weeds. Didn't save me. And it won't save them. And it won't save anybody else. But he says, I was just doing what my father told me to do. What my father says do, I do. What he says to say, I say. And then later on he'd say, now if you don't believe me for my words, believe me for my works. If you won't believe what I say, just take a look at what I do. Because who but God? Well, there's another story. And this one's over in Acts. I think it's in Acts 5. You know, you can remember that because John 5 and Acts 5. So you can go read them later. But in Acts 5, here we find another man. And this man from his mother's womb had been lame. And every day they carried him out to the front of the church. Where he could beg for alms. And here they come by him. Some gave alms, I guess. Some didn't. Some wanted to help him. Some couldn't. Nobody could give him what he really needed. But here come two old boys. That the Bible says that had been with Jesus. You know what? When you get saved, bless God, you got the power of God in you. Now, I'm not saying we can do what they did because there's different time and God does different things in different times. But here they come, and they're coming to church to worship. And they see the man begging for alms. Now, here old Peter is. He said, son, I want you to look on me. Now, here's the man. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible says he fixed his eyes on Peter thinking he was going to give him an alm. I mean, he said, oh, I'm going to give me $100 bill this time. No. Peter said words we've all heard. Son, silver and gold. I don't have any $100 bills to give you. Matter of fact, I could give you $1,000 bills. That wouldn't help you because you'd still be here tomorrow. You can hear a lot of messages and still be where you are until you believe. Believe changes it all, folks. Yep. Believe in God changes everything for you. Yep. It'll take a lame man to walk. It'll take a blind person to see. It'll take a deaf person to hear. It'll take an unsaved person to be saved. And Peter said, son, silver and gold have I none. But whatsoever I have. Whoa, wait a minute. Now wait. Whatsoever I have. Well, what did he have?
Salvation.
And that included
healing. Here's what he said in my word. So I ain't got no money. I got God. God will fill you all it. He said, such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus. He didn't say in the name of old Peter. He said in the name of Jesus. Rise up. Take up. And walk. You know what the Bible says? Bible says that Peter took hold of him. That's a word we use over in Irwin, hold. Took hold of him. I know it's hold, but we used to say take hold that thing. He took hold of him. And you know what the Bible says he did? Bible says he got one leg up, and then he he said, son, you're going to have to pull a little harder. Oh, that ain't what it says? No. No, you know what it says? It says something I can't do. Bless God, he got from there and he leaped up. A man couldn't walk for 38 years with atrophy. Don't leap. He don't even get up. Matter of fact, he can't stand up unless God. Let me tell you something. An unsaved person, they may think they get up, but without God, they're still down. Yep. It takes God to get you up, folks. Yeah. It takes. Now, I want you to notice this. That old man run straight home, started watching TV.
No, he didn't.
No, he went, bless God, where you go when you get saved. I know you hear these people. Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved.
No, but you want to.
You'd be right. You'd be right. Well, no need me say it. She's already said it. She's been with me so long, she knows before I know it. You want to go.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to go, I'd say there's a good chance you're still down there.
Yeah.
If you say those words, well, you don't have to go, I got a feeling you're still down there. Because you know what? I'm going to go over here. I'll tell you, I like talking to Dorothy. Since 1982, I've never not wanted to go. I've never not looked forward to getting here. Folks, this is my place of peace in a world of turmoil. This is my shelter in a world of storm. This is a place where I can come and see people of the same faith, of the same God, of the same Savior, of the same mind, and one accord. This is where I feel best. Why wouldn't I want to be here?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. I'd almost say all rise because the Queen's coming in, but I'll tell you one thing. That's God, if we was in England, I would. I'll tell you. And I'm sorry, ladies, if you was trying to get the best dressed award today, you're out. Come on in, honey. Come on in. So here he is. And they go to the temple. They go to church where a saved man ought to go, bless God. And you know what? When they got there, who do you think they found? They found them preachers and them religious folk. And they said to that man, now, son, ain't you the one I saw out? Ain't you the one I kept walking by? Y'all remember the story of the Samaritan, don't you? Huh? How law and the priest, you know, they saw him. They didn't even go near him. Well, let me get over here. I'll turn my head. I didn't see nothing. But then here come the Samaritan. He saw him. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Oh, glory. I'm glad he saw me in that ditch.
Yeah.
I'm glad he came over to me, bless God, and said, hey, son, you want to get out of that ditch? I said, oh, I've done seen two walk by, and they couldn't help me. He said, well, I can. And I will. Hallelujah. Bless God. Get out of the ditch and let's go. I'll take you down here and I'll tell you what. I'll leave you with somebody. I'll leave you with somebody to care for you. You know what we do in here every Sunday morning in teaching and preaching and singing? Bless God, we're caring for those that the Samaritan has brought into the inn to take care of till he comes back. And he says, when I come back, bless God, I'll bring my reward with you. I'm going to reward you for taking care of them people that I've placed in your care. I don't do this for boastfulness, folks. Please don't think that. But it's why I spend hours in this book for every Sunday morning. Because God has given me the greatest gift he could give anybody, and that's to teach his word and to help those, bless God, that he's brought to the end to care for till he returns. So there you see two impotent men. Two men who could not help themselves. You say, Tom, what does John 5 and Acts 5 have anything to do with Romans 5? They're all three fives. You can remember them now. Well, John, at Romans says this, therefore. Now, everybody knows what therefore means, don't you? It means what I just told you. He was delivered. Oh, don't miss that. Brother, they didn't. Listen, I know they come out to the garden to get him. They wouldn't have got him if he hadn't been delivered. He was delivered into their hands, not by them, by God. God said, oh, I love the world so much. Oh, I thought, that makes me to know, Becky, that he loved me so much. When I wasn't even lovable, he loved me so much that he gave his. Listen, if you don't remember Abraham, remember this. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him. What did Abraham do? Bless God, he said, son, get up. We got to go. And they're going up the mountain. He said, Daddy, I see the wood. I see the fire. Daddy, I don't see a sacrifice. Oh, glory. God will provide himself a sacrifice, not for him, for you, and for me, and for you. And he says, before he went up there, he told them boys, hey, listen, this is how I knew you knew in the resurrection. But bless God, if you don't think he believed in the resurrection, you're crazy. He said, me and the boy, we'll go up, and I'll come back. No, I don't shake your head. Yes, that ain't what it says. He says, we'll go up and we'll come back. Bless God. I'm going up here and kill this boy. But as soon as I kill him, God's going to raise him up, because God done promised me that through this boy right here, I'm going to bless the whole world, that I'm going to have his seed is going to be as the stars of heaven. So I know if God told me to kill him, I'm going to kill him, but he'll raise him up. Up they went. Knife goes up. God says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And he hears a bleeding noise in the thicket. What did Abraham told his boy? God will provide.
Yeah.
That's what it meant in Romans 4 when he said being fully persuaded, folks. Listen, are you fully persuaded that what God has promised you he'll do for you? Are you like Paul when he says, I am persuaded that what I have committed to him against that I'm fully committed to